As a quadriplegic, it must be frustrating for you, someone who likes to get things done with their hands.
Here's the thing.
Four guys murdered my wife.
If I could find these men, I'd do it.
What if I told you I could offer you something that would enable you to walk again? I call it STEM, a computer chip that has the potential to change everything. It's a new, better brain.
I am STEM, the system operating your body for you.
Can anybody else hear you?
No, only you. May I point something out? In the drone surveillance footage, Sir Brantner, Marine Corps, address 414 Citrus, Newground. You'll need a plan.
I got this.
This doesn't seem like a well thought out plan. I need your permission to operate independently.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Lucky Dog Podcast. This is your host, Elias Roush. Today with me is just me. It's a solo podcast. We are covering Lee Winans' Upgrade. Some people have heard of Lee Winans. I'm probably mispronouncing his name wrong. Director, actor, writer, producer, you name it, he does it all. All within the horror realm. He is best well known for the Saw franchise. It was his mind and James Wan who came together to bring the infamous Saw franchise. Now, I'll say that I'm not a horror aficionado like some people. I'm just a regular individual that comes to happen to like horror a little bit later in their life. You know, I wasn't crazy about it growing up, but now I'm a little bit more interested in it being a film connoisseur, I guess, a little bit. You know, you gotta have different genres in your films and in your arsenal that you've seen, and so I gotta have some sort of horror films. So Saw definitely would cover a couple of those. I mean, some of them just are gratuitous violence, and so I wasn't always looking for that. I want something with a little bit more of a twist. So, Lee Winans, he's also known for being involved in Insidious and that franchise, and I guess that worked all right. I mean, I didn't think Insidious was as effective as I think The Conjuring 2. So anyway, Lee Winans, this is one of his first, I would say, action horror sci-fi flicks that has come to the Blumhouse Studios. Many people have heard of Blumhouse from I think they are in charge of just multiple low-budget movies that sometimes bring in just a hell of a lot of money. Most people remember Get Out. Some people have heard of Happy Death Day most recently, and then The Purge. This is all the individuals that are bringing you this movie, Upgrade. And so, Upgrade stars Tom Hardy's Tom Hardy's lookalike, Logan Marshall Green. I've heard a couple podcasts call him, he's Tom Hardly, because he almost makes it to the Tom Hardy stage, but not quite. But I definitely think that this movie does distinguish him a little bit more from just being a Tom Hardy lookalike. This guy definitely has some agency, and he definitely has some chops. We're going to do kind of a little spoiler-free section real quick just to say, should you see it, should you not see it, kind of impressions, just stylistic flares and that type of thing. We have a... Oh, here we go. Oh, how's it going, Peabody?
Yes, play there, Jerry.
Oh, you're just in time for the show.
Oh.
I got your ass.
Got me.
got your ass.
Damn it. So, speeding to Chipotle trying to make it before they close.
Oh, you're already late. You're already late.
I was caught up.
Alright, so anyways, it's been a week, Peabody. What are your first impressions of Upgrade?
Upgrade. I'll tell you, the action scenes, I would have to give two thumbs up.
Okay.
Two thumbs up.
We're going to do a quick spoiler-free section right now, just so people that haven't seen it, do you think they should see it, or do you think would you recommend it overall?
I would recommend it. I mean, if you like action movies or a little bit of sci-fi thriller
right type
category, yeah. Or if you like Tom Hardy, I mean, that's reason enough to see it in my book.
You mean Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy, or a.k.a. Ashton Kutcher with a beard.
Oh, Ashton Kutcher with a beard. I didn't see... Did you have your glasses on, man?
I had my glasses on, dude. It just looked like Ashton Kutcher with a beard.
I don't know, man. I was dead serious.
I mean, you can vouch me on this. Like, 5 minutes in, I was like, who is this guy?
I had Mark going for, like, the first, like, I don't know, hour and a half at least.
Oh, I had no idea.
So
what I was getting myself into.
So I did have slightly different impressions coming out of it, immediately coming out of it. I wasn't sure how much I liked it or not. It definitely had me thinking for a while.
About what specifically?
Well, I don't want to, like I said, the spoiler section.
Oh, spoiler free.
But, like, it's definitely a thinker. I thought it was going to be much more of a straightforward action movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think it definitely wasn't.
It was also almost reminiscent of, like, The Matrix or something.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Kind of, it's hard to describe.
It's hard to describe without spoiling anything.
Right. So, yeah, definitely, I think the action is a 10 out of 10, and there's just not enough of it.
There's not enough of it. And they could have done with, like, at least two more solid action scenes.
Right, and I thought that there was kind of tonal shifts in the middle. Like, I'm not going to talk about exactly what the tonal shift is, but in the middle, I wasn't too fond about where the tonal shift went and then how it ended. I felt like it was first, second, and third act felt like they were three different tones.
Yeah, I could see where you're coming from with that.
And
the ending also just, like, gives you no closure, as far as...
Right.
Which I guess is more of a trend these days in film and TV shows, but...
Well, I think we can describe that a little bit more in spoiler side. But yes, I do think that there's really highs, there's some really good highs, and there's a little bit lows. What do you think about the acting? I had some, you know.
I mean, it's Tom Hardy, so no complaints there.
It's Logan Marshall Green.
Yeah, the other characters were pretty decent.
Right.
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to
refresh
my own memory on this movie.
I didn't think that they were necessarily bad, but I felt like some of the dialogue they had to say was a little bit strenuous.
It did seem kind of forced or awkward, I guess. I think it might just be maybe it was intentionally like that way just because of the futuristic setting, but I don't know.
So, it's hard to talk.
Like, the conversations kind of felt, I don't know, just awkward to listen to between Tom Hardy and his wife, specifically.
The main guy's name's Logan Marshall Green.
Logan, and what was the wife's name?
Marshall Green.
No, the wife's name.
Oh, the wife. Pamela? Is her name
Pamela,
maybe?
That sounds right.
That's the only other female.
It kind of felt like they weren't a real couple, or like, it was almost obvious that they were acting they were a couple. I don't know.
Stagey.
Yeah. They didn't really seem that sincere.
Right. I thought that this movie lacked a little bit of levity. Like, it needed a little... it kind of, it says it's a comedy, or no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Sorry, it doesn't.
I was gonna say what?
No, it doesn't. No, I remember that there was people in the theater that laughing, were laughing like it was a comedy. 70s. Yeah. Like, there's guys all in the movie theater that thought they were in the movie.
Oh yeah, they were real into it. You would have thought it was a 3D the way they were acting.
Oh my god, yeah. When they were getting hit in the movie, it's like they were getting hit back behind me. They go, like, my back,
dropping the popcorn.
Yeah, it was flying. But yeah, I do want to jump into the spoiler section here, real quick. Anything else we need to wrap up about it? You know,
I would definitely recommend seeing it if you're into, like I said, action, Tom Hardy, or sci-fi.
Right.
Last word for the non-spoiler crowd.
Right. I actually heard it compared to like a Hardcore Henry. Did you ever see that?
I did not see that.
But we'll talk about it in the spoiler section. I think this movie could have done just maybe with like a montage. To bring a little bit of levity. I'll explain in the spoiler section. So, everybody, join us in the spoiler section if you want to get spoiled. If you've already VIP. Seen it, VIP room, it's all on me. It's all on E. It's all on Mark P. It's all good. So, we're in the spoiler section now. Get the hell out of here if you aren't in the club, or if you're not cool enough, or if you just need to go.
You just want a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to.
The whole movie was a surprise to me. I didn't even watch the trailer before I saw it.
Yeah, it's a mind boggler or whatever they say it's called these days.
But, it's a little bit of a mind fuck.
Yeah, mind fuck. Yeah, it'll put you for a loop, and I definitely think it has a rewatchable value to it, you know?
I don't know if I would see it again, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? I would see it just for the action.
Yeah, I would rewatch the action scenes.
It's something to put on the background.
A little bit. I will say, if you have a weak stomach, it can be pretty gruesome.
Yeah, I was talking about this right before you hopped on. Do you know this is directed and written by the same guy that brought us Saw?
You honestly, if I had to take three guesses of who the directors were, that probably would have been in the top three.
Yeah, this guy is he was a writer on the original Saw. He's not the director.
It had that vibe, like the
it had a horror
environment.
It felt like it was a horror movie at most of the point. You know, it was really dark and dreary.
I don't know. It's almost like the bloody scenes in Saw have like a certain filter on them or something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know. It's
kind of like a blue. Kind of like
it reminded me. Yeah, like the bathroom scene.
Right.
Where he's fighting the guy reminded me of the bathroom scene in Saw, in the first Saw.
Oh, okay. Right.
Like the lighting and the way everything looked.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I did like the lighting, though. I thought the red tones that were in it. I'm looking at some of the screenshots right now. In the fighting, it had kind of neon filters that were on the characters that I thought were pretty cool. I think John Wick started that whole trend, you know, fighting in front of neon.
Oh yeah,
it just looks cool. But yeah, so let's talk about the twist at the end. The first twist was that the scientist killed him on purpose. Or paralyzed him and then killed his wife.
Yes.
In reverse order, sorry. Killed his wife and then
paralyzed. Or his wife was just collateral damage or something.
Right.
We don't actually know, I guess.
Mm-hmm. As I was watching it, I felt it coming. Did you see that? Did you see the first twist coming?
Yeah, as far as the robot being the one behind everything?
No. The first one was the scientist being behind everything.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I kind of felt like they were in it together. Now, what I didn't see coming was that he wasn't part of it, or the scientist was under control, I guess.
Was Stim already in the scientist?
I don't know. See, it never really explained that.
Right.
You knew that he was controlling them, but it didn't really elaborate as to how. If he had installed one on himself as, like, maybe a test run, or if it had just somehow gained control over his mind in another way, like, who knows? Or threatened his family. I mean, it could have been anything.
Right, right.
Give me 5 minutes and I'll get it all away.
It's all good. It's all good. Oh, we got Jerry back.
We got a double steak bowl here, Jerry.
Oh, trust us.
It's about to be a late night.
Oh, goodness. To get the whole thing down, I mean, that's a mega one. We heard half of your order, you know.
Oh, did you?
Nah, we won't go too in depth. You'll have to.
Well,
you have to.
Let's not get too off track. Where were we?
So, yes. How much did Stim know, and when was he in control? Was he in control of the scientist that looked like little Draco Malfoy, or? You know,
it never really gives you, like, the breadth, or it never puts any limitations on his control. Like, for all we know, he could have, I mean, I guess he was in control of the hitman and everything at the beginning, even.
Right, right. Well,
it made it out to be like he was in control of everything all the way up, basically from the beginning until the end of the movie. And some of that seems almost unreasonable, but I don't know.
Well, when it comes to the AI technology, it's like, really, they have no limitation. You know, if they're on the hard net, it's like, you're going to have to take out the net. And if you don't take out the net, then it's in everything. It's
like what was supposed to be his ultimate, like, goal for getting Tom Hardy?
Logan Marshall Green.
So he could have, like, a guy that was untouched by other technology. That's what it was.
Right. He wanted, like, his brain.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything specific to why it was him, you know? But I guess he was an easy target.
I guess. Maybe he just wanted someone, like, physically stronger than the scientist guy, too. I don't know.
Right. So, I think one of the biggest flaws I found throughout the movie was that I couldn't sympathize with anybody. I didn't really.
It gave you, like, no relationship with the characters. It didn't really tell you much about them.
Right.
In the beginning, it just kind of threw you into it.
But. And the entire time I was thinking what was going on, I was like, I want somebody to hit somebody. I was like, somebody needs to hit somebody. Because, like, the trailers, the marketing, it was like, computer takes over, guys, like, and the guy's like, oh, I can't control it, I'm a ninja now. You know? It's like, I was waiting, like, for 20 minutes. I was itching. I was like, I need somebody to hit somebody. I was, like, freaking out, man. And when I got there.
He did hit somebody.
I mean, okay, so yes, once the action finally dropped, it was dope. But it really was much more of a meditation on, you know, having technology integral to our lives and having it take over too much, you know?
You think?
And it wasn't as much of an action thriller as I had originally hoped. It was, you know, it was much more 50-50 or 40-60, 40% action, 60% sci-fi. Not that I didn't like the sci-fi, it just didn't, it was not selling me on that.
Yeah, in general, I'm really not a big fan of sci-fi, to be honest with you. Like,
really?
I can't really think of many sci-fi movies I'm a huge fan of. I kind of like old school, like, action.
Didn't you like Snowpiercer?
Snowpiercer?
Didn't you see that? The train.
Nah.
Chris Evans has to go through the train. Okay, so yeah, I thought you were more on to sci-fi. Well, I thought you liked, like, Falling Skies, like that alien show.
Oh yeah, that's
still sci-fi.
It started out good, and then it kind of just went downhill.
So you've been on much more grounded
I like the action, like war army type movies, maybe like a little bit detective.
Right. Well, if you saw the recent Blade Runner, that was like a detective sci-fi
noir. Did we see that?
I don't know if you saw that. I know I didn't see it in theaters because it was like 2.5 hours. It was a long fucking movie. But it was Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford. And it was it was a sequel to the original Blade Runner, which also was kind of it was a 2-hour sci-fi special. So it wasn't something quick and done, you know.
Would you consider Lord of the Rings to be like sci-fi?
No, that's fantasy.
Fantasy, okay. See, I like fantasy, I think.
Okay, so fantasy is more like Game of Thrones realm.
Right.
Fantasy
are just like real type action.
Well, I like
historical or...
Right.
Comedies.
I think I definitely like some fantasy, but I also really do like some grounded sci-fi. I don't like sci-fi
Give me an example.
If you've seen any of Black Mirror... a lot of Black Mirror is like, it's like technology that's going to happen, not in 20 years, but maybe in like 30 to 50 years. As opposed to movies that make movies with technology 200 years down the road. Things that we can't even fathom of.
I could honestly see a lot of this movie in 30 years.
Right. I think that this movie did an excellent job for... I've heard it's an relatively low budget. The people behind it used really low budgets for their movies. This was... It looked like $1 million, I think, almost every scene, you know?
I can't think of anything, yeah, that looks flawed.
I did want to talk about that second act. Like I said, everything looked amazing. Action was amazing. I thought it sounded really good. Like the gore was good.
Cool sound effects.
Yeah.
Like robotic sound effects.
Fighting
scenes took place.
The Stim. I liked his voice.
Yeah.
I wanted a little bit more banter between them. I wanted maybe a montage of them. You know, like him using Stim in real life or something. A couple months down, I guess I needed some time passing with him and Stim to kind of grow the relationship.
Yeah, he put his trust in that thing pretty quickly.
It felt like all in one night.
Yeah, just about.
Or like within like a few hours.
And not only that, but like he got on board with like some really fucked up stuff.
Right, I mean.
Within like a day or two.
The biggest complaint I think that sticks out when I was walking out, I thought was the weirdest tonal shift, was the fact that they walked in to the Pirates of the Caribbean around the second half.
What do you mean?
The second act. That the Pirates of the Caribbean bar, Dead Man's Bones bar or whatever.
I was so
thrown off by that. I was like, what the fuck movie are we watching now?
That's not a Pirates of the Caribbean bar, is it?
I was just... It just looks stupid. The design didn't make sense. I mean, if we're in a sci-fi...
It felt regressive. It's supposed to be like an underground, like, biker, like, no technology allowed type bar or something.
I don't...
And then it was a little bit tacky.
It was too tacky for my taste.
It was a little bit tacky.
It was jarring and... At that point, they were making jokes. Do you remember that? It's been a week since we've seen it, so we're a little bit late to the game. But I just remember some kind of cringeworthy dialogue between what was going on, because I remember him being cocky walking in there, you know? He plays the cocky guy that everyone thinks is a dweeb, but he actually has, you know, the mega pistol in his pocket that can take out anyone, which is Stim.
Yeah.
You know? But that did lead into a dope-ass action scene.
Yeah.
So it's like hard to complain about that too much, you know? It's like they set up some cheese just to add some nachos or something. I don't know.
The bar almost looked like it was decorated from fucking Mad Max Fury Road or something. There were just like skeletons all over the place.
What the fuck was the theme? Who thought of that? It just felt like it was out of a different movie, didn't it?
Yeah, you're right. It did. I guess they were, I don't know, maybe... I feel like it was intentionally trying to be different than the rest of, like, the atmosphere in the world. just to show that the people there were different. But
it most certainly was.
They took it a little bit to an extreme, I guess. I don't know.
My guess is there was, you know, budget constraints on where they could go. But I felt like every...
They could have done anything there. They could have done anything old school there.
They should have just removed the bones. You know, the guy's house looked like a $5 million house on the inside. And then you go to this bar, and it looks like it's a $50,000 bar. You know?
I don't have any suggestions as what it could have been, but I just know that it could have been different.
Just take it out. Don't do it. Let's do a fight in an alley. You know how cheap it is just to do a fight in an alley compared to, you know, Billings?
That's true.
I just felt like there was a couple times I just wanted them to get to it.
And they could have done the classic, like, nightclub fight scene in the bathroom or something.
Yeah, I mean, they did technically do that, but they went through the hard way and built the entire bar and decorated it with Halloween goods.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. It looked like a cheesy Halloween decorated bar.
Yeah. So, what about the detective that we were following? I kind of almost forgot about her.
Oh, I did forget about her.
She's not fleshed out at all, to my knowledge.
And it's almost like she doesn't know what she's getting herself into, and you just kind of want her to go away.
Right.
You know she's going to die if she keeps chasing it, which she does.
I was not sure what was going to happen at the end with her. Were you surprised that Stim shot her?
Kind of. I kind of thought, I mean, there was like a second there where you thought he was going to take out Stim.
Right.
And it just didn't happen. So, yeah, I was kind of surprised. Like, I would have, personally, I always like a happy ending. I was that type of guy.
Right.
I would have liked it if he had just taken out Stim there and then that was the end of it. Maybe he died and that was it.
Right.
Because he shot his spine again and he just died. I don't know.
It's all flooding back to me just how it came back. I remember that he wakes up in the hospital and he's in his dream or something like that. And
yeah.
Stim put him there to make him think that that's where he is.
Yeah, that was like some Inception.
What did you think about that? Did that...
I didn't like it.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it. Okay, so that's interesting because... Finishing, I'm trying to go through my mind as it was processing what was going on. I was like, okay, this is a pretty interesting movie. It gets to the end. I was like, okay, I definitely see this guy betraying him, the scientist guy. It happens. But then it does this the second twist. And the second twist is him waking up to his wife. And I was like, oh my goodness. Okay, so was this all just a fucking dream? You motherfuckers, I was starting to get pissed.
Yeah, I was like, this is like a elementary like action movie where they wake up at the end of it. I can't remember what exactly it was. I know there were several.
The one that comes to mind is Next, which is the Nicolas Cage, Jessica Biel, Julia.
Oh, yeah.
He floods all the way. Yeah, we won't spoil it, but it kind of was like that shit. But
there's a ton of those, yeah.
But, I mean, it's the easiest trick in the book. So instead of that happening, they go back and say Stim has put him there.
Yeah.
Which I actually liked.
I don't know.
Because I don't know why. I don't remember exactly why I liked it, but I definitely remember the my reaction. I was like, wow, that was it. I'm glad they didn't just say he just woke up with his wife in front of him. And I'm glad.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad
obviously
that
what they did was better than that, but still overall.
And I'm glad that they didn't say, oh, it was the scientist all along. It was actually Stim, which I'm pretty sure I've seen other movies where the computer is actually the one who's doing, is the puppet master all along.
Oh, it's like Eagle Eye.
Yeah, sort of like Eagle Eye. But I felt like we knew Eagle Eye was the thing all the time.
I don't think I knew it when I was watching it. I don't know.
Did we not know?
We might
be spoiling something, but yeah, I've definitely seen, we've seen other movies where the, you know, the AI is the culprit, you know, the puppet master.
Yeah.
But I think I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the end and how it ended. I thought it left it open enough to, if they wanted to do it, they could do another one. If they didn't want to, then, you know, they don't have to.
See, I don't think they're going to do another one, though. I could be wrong, but...
I would like to see...
I just don't see any other potential plot lines now that all the main characters are dead.
Right, right.
Or just no, like, mental capacity.
Right. I think the one thing that's lacking in this is, like, a glowing character, because I can't think of one character that really I want to see again in a robot form or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
There's no one that he can really go up against.
I don't think they left anyone alive, honestly.
Right. Even the guys with the arm cannons. Yeah. Did you like that design? You know, they had the guns and the arms. I just assume, like as a sci-fi model. I mean, I could definitely see people in the future having robotic arms and, you know, being able to the capability to shoot things out of them.
I could see one or the other. I don't see an organic arm mixed with a robot arm like that.
Right. I just assumed that was a.
Maybe it was all robot.
Robot, kind of like a Will Smith and iRobot. You know, he had spray on or whatever.
Spray paint.
I thought that. I thought it was really well done with the budget, and I think that's the biggest, biggest surprise. I think the writing was a little weak. The action was amazing. The music, the sounds. If someone got their neck snapped, it was like, really felt it. I don't
remember any music now that you mentioned that.
Oh, really?
Was there music?
It was kind of really subtle music. You know, sci-fi doesn't exactly always have something like a remedy or something, but it might have something looming in the back, like, but yeah, so, I was glad I saw it. That's all I gotta say.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it was definitely entertaining. That's what you go for, so...
If they had if they had the action scenes twice as long, I think I could recommend it to anybody.
If they had what?
The action scenes were twice as long.
Oh, yeah. Maybe not even twice as long. Maybe just, like, add in a couple more or, make them a little bit longer.
Right. And maybe even give them a friend or something like that. Or give them some time with STEM, because there was no time.
Yeah. He was in it alone, and then he had STEM for, like, a couple days, and then he was in it alone again.
Right. And, I like the dynamic of seeing him with STEM. Like, he's like, I can't control my body without without STEM. And then they even went through the purpose of taking STEM away and what he could do without STEM, which is diddly squat, you know?
Yeah.
He turns back into quadriplegic? Paraplegic?
I'm not sure what the right terminology is, honestly.
Right, so...
Paralyzed from the neck down.
So he's useless without him, so it was, a gift and a curse kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
My biggest gripe, honestly, is just, like, the ending. Like, my ideal ending probably would have been he just shot STEM and then he died, and that was it.
Okay, alright. I think there's a number of ways they could have done it. I don't have a gripe with the way it ended.
They basically did put it out there, so like any one of like three or four different things could have happened.
Yeah, if you were like, oh, I gotta go take a pee, and you were like, oh, he shoots himself, or oh, he wakes up in the hospital. Oh, you're like, oh, it's a good ending. You know, you can choose your ending because there's seriously like three. But not it's like three endings, but not like bad endings. It's not like they fade to black and then like, oh, we're back. Fade to black. Oh, we're back. You know, it's not like some bullshit. Yeah,
continuously just twist ending.
Yeah, it was more like undoing layers.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was solid. Missing anything else? Do you have anything else to add to the review?
I don't think so. I'd probably give it like a 7.5 out of 10.
A solid Bart Peabody. 8.5 out of 10.
Seven and a half.
Oh, that's 7.5. Okay.
Let me think about this.
7.5.
I'm going to bump that up. I'm going to factor in the action scenes. I'm running those through my head again.
Right.
I'm going to bump it to a 7.7 out of 10.
We got that. We got that right. Yeah, we got 7.7 over here. This guy over here with a 7.7.
Yeah, I mean, pretty good action scenes. Tom Hardy's in there.
No, he's not.
What?
No, he's not.
Tom Hardy?
It's Logan Marshall Green. Oh my god.
So you're telling me that that wasn't Tom Hardy?
Mark, I thought I told you like 10 times, guys.
You did not tell me. You told me it was fucking listeners, Tom Hardy.
Bart, you're going to have to get your glasses checked or get another pair of glasses to wear when we're in the theater.
You're shitting me right now. That was not Tom Hardy.
It's not Tom Hardy. I was just joking when I said he didn't lose that much weight. Sorry for the weight. Shit. Yeah, man.
You're gonna put me on a broadcast like this and you're gonna tell me that it wasn't Tom Hardy?
Live broadcast.
I've been saying Tom Hardy this entire time.
Live broadcast. I mean, I threw in...
You were dead serious.
I didn't think you were gonna...
I can see it.
Where was his accent? You think he was covering his accent the whole time?
Yes.
I do think this guy does have a terrible accent, by the way. It felt like it was going way up and down.
Dude, I can't fucking believe that wasn't Tom Hardy. Like, I've been telling people about the movie, like, last weekend, all weekend. I was like, yeah, Tom Hardy.
They're going to get there like, what the fuck, Mark? Oh, they're like, sitting there waiting for Tom Hardy to show up. It's like, well, there's this guy, and he kind of looks like
who the fuck is, what you call him?
Logan Marshall Green. It's a name to remember.
You were saying Logan Marshall Green earlier. I thought that was the character's name.
What? No, I thought you knew the name. The guy's name is Gray Trace.
Damn it.
It was
that. Damn it a lot.
Who remembers the name Gray Trace? That is a
very easily forgettable name.
That's bland. Yeah, they have some bland ass names in this. Yeah, you got Gray Trace, you got VR guy, Cirque. That was the guy with
Stim.
Fisk.
Oh,
Manny.
What was his wife's name?
Manny.
What was his wife's name?
I think it was Pamela.
See, that's another one.
The Pamela. Tolan. Pam. What about Tolan?
Are you saying Pan or Pam?
Oh my gosh. Alright, these people are like... Man.
I'm going to have to go in here and eat my Chipotle.
Oh, his Chipotle is calling his name. Cold.
Up
oh. Tom Hardy. Oh my gosh.
Especially after I've been telling people that for a couple weeks. Could have done a little bit better job of clarifying.
Oh, I thought you knew, dog.
Yeah,
I thought. They're just going to think you know. You never know.
All right, Jerry.
All right. Thank you, Peabody. I appreciate it. Thank you for joining.
Thanks for having me
burst
my Tom Hardy bubble.
All right, Jerry, go. All right, everybody. So, thank you for listening. Rate, share, subscribe. Lucky Dog Podcast. gmail.com. Find us at Twitter. Lucky Dog Podcast.
I cannot allow us to be killed.
Thank you.
We are going to finish the job we started.
You didn't know that I'm a ninja.
While I am state-of-the-art, I am not a ninja.